right, friends, Greg Kokel here at Stand to Reason, and glad that you've joined me here for the show. I really appreciate it. I'm going to do something I almost never do, and that's give out the phone number. not that anybody's listening live like the old days when I did drive time on the weekends. Does that really count, you know, 3 to 6? Do they really call that drive time? Maybe you're driving back and forth to the beach or some to the movies or something like that. But I give the number, then people can call in right away. Now we're not on live in that way. But if you jot down the number, you might want to call when I am personally on the show in real time, which would be at the moment. Tuesdays from 4 until 6 Pacific time. And the number is 855-243-9975, 855-243-9975. If you're outside of the U.S. and want to give a call, you got to do the math in the time zones and dial the international number. I think it's 1 for the U.S. and area code 562-424-8229. That's 562-424-8229. I think we've had some calls from Tasmania, our buddy in Tassie, who I went trout fishing with once when I was visiting there, and he got shocked by an electric wire. That's another story. But anyway, those are the numbers if you want to participate in the show. I was talking to the team today at our staff meeting, and I let them in on a little change of maybe emphasis is the right word to describe where I find myself at right now as a Christian and as someone concerned about the defense of the faith, and someone along with the rest of you who are facing a really strange and unprecedented, certainly in my life, time of history in terms of the challenges that the culture is presenting to Christians. And last show, I had a caller talking about just trying to give blood to the Red Cross, and he had to jump through all these hoops about gender as if it mattered. Well, it does matter, I guess, if you're giving blood, but gender isn't what it matters. It's sex, male or female. Apparently, I didn't know this, but there are different standards for men, males, than for women, females, when giving blood. Women can't give as much, apparently. I don't know. But they're caught up, even though this is the requirement, that is the standard based on science, because of the way blood works in the body. Still, they're carried away with this gender stuff, which should have nothing to do with what they're doing. Gender as opposed to sex. Gender identity is what I'm talking about. Yet it is, and that is just an example of one thing that is pervading everything that is destructive in a number of ways and is not consistent with the truth. And so, therefore, Christians are stuck when they're faced with this kind of thing about living for the truth or living for a lie, and a lie that I think matters. Sometimes there's these kind of subtle prevarications that don't matter, and so you just kind of flow with it. You don't lie yourself, but you just don't make a fuss about certain things. Just go with the flow. Other things matter, and in fact, as I mentioned in the last show, that just a couple days ago, the mentoring letter came out, which is basically one page if you get the physical thing, front and back, 800, 900 words, roughly, not burdensome, just a development of one thought that I think will help mentor you as a follower of Christ from me to you. And this one is on pronouns. I start off the piece, pronouns matter. Pronouns matter. They matter from a worldview perspective. They matter to the question of what does it mean to be human. It matters from a perspective of the creation order, the nature of reality. All of these things are deep and profound and weighty concerns. yet the world system, let me just put it this way, is going a different way. It's contrary to God, and I think it's trying to destroy God's plan, purpose, design, focus, all of those things. And it's a system that's controlled not by human beings, but by a spiritual power called the devil. And Ephesians chapter 6 talks about the nature of that. 2 Corinthians 4 talks about the pervasiveness of the power. The whole world is blinded. He's blinded the minds of the non-believer. And 1 John chapter 5, the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, the evil has blinded the eyes, or I'm trying to think of the wording of that one. Each one has a little different wording, but it's amounting to the same thing. Held captive by him to do his will. I mean, all of these are all statements in different parts of the scripture that shows who's in control of the world system. And that is a system that is completely and directly and fully against God's purposes. So this kind of stuff shouldn't surprise us when we have a population that is captive to that. But it's hard, and it's challenging, and it's increasingly challenging because these aren't just other ideas that people hold that we're trying to disabuse them of so that they will learn the truth and live according to the truth and live a better life as a result. These are ideas that people are enforcing. They have ramifications for public policy. That means the use of government power to force other people who don't agree to go along with it. And if it's not the government, which is hard totalitarianism, it is the soft totalitarianism that we see in our larger communities. The social structures like Twitter and Facebook and Amazon and YouTube, and just to name a few technological giants, but it's also all kinds of big business now that has gotten woke, W-O-K-E, and they've awakened now to all of this propaganda, in my view, and have been taken in by it. And they're just riding the rails. They don't believe this stuff. They're following the money is what they're doing. Oh, well, there might be some individuals who believe it, but largely this is not a righteous campaign, because what is happening is the unrighteous impact it is having on people's lives, especially people who are dissidents. So I want to read to you a little bit, kind of informally, of something that I wrote last month. It came out the 1st of May. And it's the most recent Solid Ground that's been published. Now, I have another one that I finished that's coming out August 1st. I make that July 1st. And it's dealing with critical race theory, okay? And the subtitle is Civil Rights Upside Down. It's critical race theory, also known as CRT. I'm not going to get into that now, but I see this as a piece of the emerging totalitarianism that we see in our culture, that, as I describe in Freedom Fading, which would be the May Solid Ground, pardon me, this totalitarian impulse is manifest in two different arenas, one from the top down, the other bottom up. That might be a way of putting it. Or hard totalitarianism, which is what most of us are familiar with, the government, like the Soviet Union, former Soviet Union, and, you know, the Pol Pot in the 70s in Cambodia, or the Red Chinese, or, you know, totalitarian governments. Then there are also the what's called, Rod Dreher calls, soft totalitarianism. And in his book, Live Not by Lies, he clarifies how surveillance capitalism has gotten a foothold into all of our private lives. And now the social structures that we depend upon, and I mentioned Twitter and Facebook and Amazon and Google, etc., YouTube, these are things that are huge parts of our lives and the flow of information, but they are controlled largely by a group that is a people that are ideologically in lockstep. And if you don't play by their ideology, they are going to cancel you. You're going to get left out. You're going to be taken off the grid effectively in many ways. And so these aren't government institutions. These are social institutions that have power in your life, and they are using it for illicit purposes. In this piece, I talk about that, freedom fading. And I hope you go to str.org and check it out. Should be there on the homepage. I hope you get our app for Stand to Reason. It's an easy way to access these things as well. It doesn't cost anything. All right. But I talked about one thing that I mentioned was an unusual dynamic in this trend of totalitarianism. And it's an amalgam now between soft totalitarianism, that is the cultural forces that are driving us in a certain direction and are punishing us aggressively for not going along. And so a lot of us end up lying, essentially. We go along for the sake of comfort, even though we don't believe what we're going along with. It's the cost that we have to pay in order to not go along is just too great for many people. Some people lose their jobs. And my emphasis and my concern has been for us on weighty moral concerns that we live not by lies. A line, by the way, from the title of a piece that Alexander Solzhenitsyn, the Soviet dissident and Nobel laureate, wrote when he was expelled from the Soviet Union in 1974. And he was a Christian, and he was encouraging people not to live by lies, that you can resist. You can resist by not living by lies, by living according to the truth, even if the rest of the people don't live by truth. And this kind of reminds me of Audience of One stuff that I've talked about before. Our audience is not the world. Our audience is the Lord. And even if the world doesn't buy what we say, and even if the world doesn't like what we say, and even if they don't like us, and even lash out against us, we are not here to win the world's favor. We are here to bring honor to God. And if in the process it gives us favor in the world, fine, that's great. But much of the time it will not. Because we are kicking against those goads now, the world. And they don't like it. And they're going to have at us. And we shouldn't be surprised. This is 1 Peter chapter 2 stuff. Do not be surprised. Why are you surprised, Peter writes, at this fiery ordeal among you, as if something strange were happening to you. This isn't strange. This is normal. When we suffer for righteousness' sake, we suffer because we live according to the truth and not according to lies. Anyway, here's the piece, though, and it's a dynamic that I wrote about because I learned about it. I absorbed it from a couple of different sources. And part of it is because I'm reading The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich, William Scharrer, who wrote this piece. Well, this piece, it's like 1,000 pages long. But it's the definitive work of the time, written at the time by someone who lived through it. And that was a totalitarian government. And what Scharrer does is he makes a distinction between totalitarianism and dictatorship. Actually, this is a distinction that Rod Dreher makes, but that's important to understand the rise and fall of the Third Reich. And here's what I wrote. I wrote that totalitarianism is not the same as dictatorship, okay? And that would be an individual tyrant's jackboot standing on the neck of liberty. That is called authoritarianism. Totalitarianism goes further. And here Dreher draws from the insight of Hannah Arendt, who is an expert in the area of totalitarianism. And he says, a totalitarian society is one in which an ideology seeks to displace all prior traditions and institutions. So pause here. Note that he's talking about not just an individual is trying to force you to live the way he wants you to live. That is dictatorship. It's a transformation of thinking about the way the world works. So back to the citation. An ideology seeks to displace all prior traditions and institutions with the goal of bringing all aspects of society under control of that ideology. See, it's a worldview here. A totalitarian state is one that aspires to nothing less than defining and controlling reality. Truth is whatever the rulers decide it is. So there you go. That's totalitarianism. And I point out here in the piece that the militant relativism that makes totalitarianism possible, when the truth comes not from the outside but from the inside. That's the inside-outside distinction between objectivism on the outside and relativism from the inside. And when that happens, power prevails. That is, when external objective truth doesn't direct things, it's going to be the one who's the strongest, the most powerful, is the point that I'm making here. And then this, the indoctrination to an alternate reality at the heart of totalitarianism has a curious effect. When reality is persuasively redefined by, watch this, the incessant drone of political propaganda, and abetted by not-so-subtle social pressures, that's the soft totalitarianism I was talking about, the people are gradually persuaded and willingly embrace it in large numbers as the high moral ground. And that's what I want you to get. People get persuaded by this. They think, this is the best thing. This is the high moral ground. This constant beat, this siren's song that lulls them and wins them and persuades them that the totalitarian society's ideas are the right one. Remember, totalitarian is ideological, not just power. It's persuading people of an alternate reality. And then they think not only is it true, but it's right, it's good. And as a result, then, those who do not see this, who do not embrace it, they're vilified as enemies of the good. So think haters in the current vernacular. And the good, that is, as defined by the authorities. And this brings to mind Orwell's Big Brother. Now, I mentioned that a moment ago that I'm halfway through William Shirer's remarkable work, The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich. And what was interesting is what the author noted there. He noted the precise pattern I just described, displayed in the Germans of the 1930s. And it's a dynamic that Shirer confessed that even he was vulnerable to. He writes, a steady diet over the years of falsifications and distortions made a certain impression on one's mind and often misled it. He knows better. He's an outsider living there. He's a reporter. He listens to the BBC. He's got all this other information, but still there is that siren drone of propaganda that sounds so good, sounds so true. And then he referenced what he called the most outlandish assertions from seemingly educated and intelligent persons who were obviously parroting some piece of nonsense they had heard on the radio or read in the newspapers, and opposing the nonsense, he said, was useless. Because on such occasions, he wrote, one was met with such a stare of incredulity, such a shock of silence, as if one had blasphemed the Almighty. You go against the narrative, people think you're out of your mind, when they're the ones who are out of their mind. The stuff that they're parroting is nonsense. It's upside down. But they think not only they're right, but they're good. And they think that you're not only wrong, but you're bad. And so the propaganda now regarding sexuality and gender and the so-called bigotry and hate of Christians is so pervasive and rhetorically clever, it has become irresistibly persuasive to many who are mystified that you are not falling into step with the times. And actually, it's worse because they get angry at these unpersuaded dissenters who now loom as a dangerous threat, a dangerous enemy of the common good. Okay, so this all brings me to my kind of concluding point of this. There is a flow, there's a trend, there's something that's going on here in this move towards totalitarianism. And you've got soft totalitarianism working together with hard totalitarianism. There's that amalgam that's squeezing and demanding compliance. So what do we do? I'll tell you what my concern is. My concern is not in persuading the world that they're wrong. I mean, this is a big part of what Stand to Reason does. We train you to be able to do that in individual people's lives, and we still do that, and it's still important. But I am not so concerned about them getting it right, about changing them, as I am about you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, not being changed by the world. And the way I end the piece that just came out a couple days ago, we may not be able to change them on the gender issue, for example, on that whole narrative and all that stuff. We may not be able to change the world, but we can keep the world from changing us. And my commitment, my heart right now is to protect you. It's to protect the flock. If the world is confused, then let them be confused. We don't have to be confused. We have the truth. We have the source of the truth. And the truth regarding these issues is not complex. Faithfulness is not theologically complex. The truth regarding these issues, in almost every case, is straightforward. It is obvious. We just get rattled because people are living in an upside-down world and they can't see the plain truth that's right there, ought to be before their eyes. And they spout nonsense. Sadly. Why? Because the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. He has blinded the eyes of the unbelieving. They cannot see the truth that is obvious. They need our help. But my heart is to protect you more than anything. All right, let's go to break. Greg Kokel here at Stand to Reason. More in a moment.
You can take Stand to Reason with you through our mobile apps, available for free from the App Store or the Google Play Store. The Quick Reference app gives you short, easily accessible courses on our most popular topics like tactics, homosexuality in the Bible, morality, the story of reality, and many more. The Stand to Reason app has all our latest content available at your fingertips. You can listen to our podcasts, check the blog, and access timely and practical resources. They're free, so download the apps today on the App Store or the Google Play Store and start carrying Stand to Reason with you everywhere you go. If you enjoy our apps, you can help other people find them by rating them on the App Store or the Google Play Store.
Have you seen our brand new website? Stop by str.org and enjoy a fresh, clean layout with all the same great content. The new Stand to Reason website was designed with you in mind. It has an easier-than-ever navigation and a crisp, simple layout so you can find all the sound analysis and careful commentary that you've come to expect from us. Browse new features that make finding your favorite resources easier than ever. As always, it's our goal to equip you, our fellow Christians, with the confidence, clear thinking, and courage you need for every encounter you have as a Christian ambassador. Our new website is just one way we're fulfilling that goal, allowing you to access the resources you need in a new and improved way. So visit str.org and keep coming back to discover new podcasts, articles, and videos each and every day.
All right, just a reminder here, something new for the last couple of months at least, or maybe it's just been a few weeks. I don't know. I don't watch it. And that would be me on video doing the show, but some people do, and more people are. Just a reminder that if you'd like to do that, Stand to Reason Podcast is now available in video format on our STR YouTube channel. So those of you who use that, we'll know how to get there. I don't know how to do that. But I don't go to our YouTube channel because I don't want to watch myself. But you may want to. And eventually, Amy and I both will be together for STR Ask. So we're just kind of leveraging this in a different way to make it more available to those who want that. So if you prefer watching our podcast, then subscribe to STR YouTube channel today. And one other thing, John Noyes, you know, and he's going to be filling in shortly, another week or two, he'll be on board for me. Not next week, I'll be here, but subsequent to that, in the month of June. He's going to be doing a special YouTube on the last Wednesday of every month at 6 p.m., Pacific time. It's called To the Point. And so he is going to be kind of doing what I do in the show. He'll opine for a bit and then he'll open it for your questions. So that will be something you'll find out more information on our social media channels. But that'll be John starting this month, the last Wednesday of the month. Okay. And you'll be able to see that on Facebook Live or on our YouTube channel live as well. And you can interact with John. Okay, let's go to Kyle, who's been very patiently waiting. How are you, Kyle?
I'm doing good. How are you, Greg?
Pretty good. And my board op here, Kyle. Just shout out to Kyle. My board op was all thrilled because we had another Kyle calling in. So I don't know why that's significant, but, you know, he's easily pleased. Anyway, Kyle's been doing a great job on the board for weeks and weeks and weeks, and I haven't given him a proper shout-out. So I'm just actually, it's been months. How long has it been, Kyle? Kyle, Stand to Reason, Kyle. 2 months? 3 months? Something like that. Okay, great. Anyway, Fresno Kyle, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you. Thank you. Question had to do with, I came across Josh McDowell's Moody's Founders Conference, I guess presentation he gave in 2015.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if you're familiar with it or not, but he's just, him and his son are very, like to be proactive with their kids about the subject of sex at a young age. And I just want to get your input on that. I just listened to the show for the past hour. I feel like if we can it could help the gender issue. I feel like if we could tell our kids what the truth is from a young age, that the older they get, they would be able to detect the counterfeit, as Josh put it.
Sure, sure. Well, I have a lot of respect for Josh. I remember seeing him for the first time when I was a fairly new Christian and reading More Than a Carpenter and obviously getting my copy of the first edition of Evidence That Demands a Verdict. Sean and I have been friends for years and years and years. He's been in my home many times, and so I have very strong connections to both of these, especially mostly to Sean. And I, in general, okay, I'm going to qualify this, but in general, I like their approach. And I think that is, nothing's off limits. You can raise any question that you want, and we'll do our best to answer it. Okay. And I think that given that there are lots and lots of young people that have abandoned Christianity because their questions were not answered or even taken seriously, I think that this is really a noble alternative, okay, antidote. And in their case, they know answers to questions. I think pastors in general who don't have depth in certain areas they're being challenged on sometimes maybe have kind of weak ego strength, and so they don't want to admit they don't know or whatever, so they just say, hey, don't even ask those questions. You should just be having faith. And so they dismiss the young people's concerns, and this is not good for young people who are trying to figure out whether they ought to believe what their parents believed. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, with having said that, and I've heard Josh's talks on these things. In fact, Josh gave a talk once that was very, very aggressive and explicit on these kinds of issues. And guess who followed him next at this conference? It was me, you know, and I was like, oh, goodness gracious, you know, how do you make the transition here?
Yeah.
But so I respect them, and this is not meant to be critical at all of that. I do think that there is that there ought to be some what's the right word? Not restriction. I think there ought to be some restraint in certain circumstances. Okay.
Yep.
And I'll tell you why, and this may have to be modified a little bit because of the nature of the culture, but let me just start with this. When I read about Corrie Ten Boom's life, you know who she is, right?
I do not.
Oh, Corrie Ten Boom is a Dutch woman who was a middle-aged woman during the Nazi occupation of Holland, and her family hid Jews in a special hiding place in their apartment. In their house, mm-hmm. and yep. they ended and they aided and abetted all kinds of escape and relocating of Jews, saved the lives of countless Jews, but then got discovered, and she and her sister, well, the family, you know, essentially perished. She was the only one who survived, Christian family, that survived. Her parents and her sister perished in concentration camps. But when she got out, and she was just middle-aged at the time, you know, like 30s or something like that, not married, she ended up being a kind of an evangelist and wrote a book called The Hiding Place, and they made a movie out of it. And so she's one of the best known examples of what's called a righteous Gentile who rescued Jews and during the Holocaust, but had to pay a terrible price for her willingness to do that. Okay, so The Hiding Place, I encourage you, get the movie or read the book or both. They're certainly worthwhile. Watch it with your kids. A little intense, obviously, the material, but it's a great accounting of God's working in the lives of these noble people, even though they paid such a price. Okay, that's the subtext. In the book, Corrie is a young girl. She's talking about her earlier life, being raised by her father, Casper, who is a clockmaker and repairs clocks. And so that means every week he had to go to the Capitol and synchronize his watch with the local watch, the local clock and the official clock, and go home and then synchronize all the other people's clocks in towns according to that. She's on the train with him making the trip, and she's reading in her Bible, and she comes across a word that she describes in the book as sex sin. Okay, so this is the Dutch translation of the Bible, but it says sex sin. She doesn't know what this is. She's a girl. She's a young girl. She's, I don't know, maybe she's 7 or 8 or 9 years old. And back then, they weren't inundated by sexual issues. Okay, but she asks her father what this means. And her father says to her, Corrie, can you get up and hand me the suitcase that I placed up on the rack here above us? And she said, Papa, I can't do that. That suitcase is too heavy. And he said, yes, you're right, honey, it is too heavy. And this thing that you just asked me about, that is also too heavy for you right now. And I want you to trust your father to carry that for you until you're ready to carry it for yourself. Now, I think that displayed profound wisdom, because I think that when it comes to sexual matters, that children should be innocent. Okay? That's the ideal. With me so far?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
They should be innocent. They should be protected from those things until they have to begin to carry those things themselves. So this is an argument for delay in getting sexually explicit about things. Now, of course, the problem in our culture is that the culture's not willing to delay that and protect our children. I remember, you know, when President Obama was president, he was talking about sexual education in an age-appropriate way going all the way down to kindergarten. Really? What is age-appropriate sexual education for a five-year-old? Please. Yeah. Okay, but it does betray a mentality. And so now you can't, everywhere you go, you're getting overwhelmed with all of this stuff. And I think it's corrupting. So this is where I'm just going to invite people like yourself to try to find a wise middle ground between protecting innocence and addressing things they can't avoid.
Yep. Yeah.
And I don't know where that middle ground is, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
So yeah. I think what Sean and Josh are thinking is the invasion of all of this stuff that has to be addressed, and young people are going to ask questions, and they're going to learn it from somewhere. Corey was going to learn it from her parents at the appropriate time. She wasn't going to get it from anywhere else in 1930s Holland or early 1940s. However, you know, that isn't the case now. It's everywhere. And so it may be appropriate to act preemptively with regards to our kids, even though we wish we didn't have to do it.
Sure.
Something like that.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
I hate being put in this situation, to be honest with you. It bothers me.
Yeah.
And
I'm 23, and my wife and I have our first one on the way, and I'm just his speech just really hit me hard, and I just coming up in the I'm a 23-year-old, so I grew up with social media, and I just know how powerful it is. And,
yes.
I'll restrain my girl as long as I can, but I know there's going to come a time where she's going to look for answers if I don't give her that. So.
Right. Well, here's a piece of advice, okay? I got some strong medicine for you. And you can do what you want with it. But I highly recommend you get rid of your TV set.
We don't have cable.
That's player. Good. Okay, so you can watch DVDs or something like that.
Yep.
Okay, good. So you don't have any network, any kind of stuff coming in. Well, that's good. Good for you.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good balance. That's what we have now, but I wish we would have had that for years and years and years. And because there is so much junk that comes in. But even in DVDs, it's hard, and my kids go to other people's houses and they watch stuff, and it's...
Yeah.
And I didn't... When did you see that? Oh, I just saw it at such and so's. Well, holy cow, you know? But it's... you can't avoid it anymore. And this is where... I'd also make another recommendation that you begin, and I say both of these things because of my own failures as a father, just to be totally candid. I would encourage you and your wife to be of one mind on building in spiritual time on a regular basis, maybe daily, maybe after dinner, wherever, maybe once, a couple times a week. I don't know how you do it, but it's got to be consistent. So that your kids grow up knowing that this is the way your family works all the time.
Yep.
And I was not good at doing that. And in fact, I never did it. It never really happened. I made some attempts, but it just didn't work for me. And I wish I would have tried harder now that I think about it. But it's so much more difficult when they're teenagers and you try to get something like that going than if it's already built into the rhythm of their daily lives or their weekly lives. So... Anyway, that's just my advice to Kyle in Fresno, Ohio.
I appreciate it, Greg. I heard you speak on the Defense Rest podcast about 6 months ago, and I've just been diving into your podcast, the Santa Reason University and Red Pen Logic. I'm just loving it all.
I'm so glad to hear that. That's great. How long have you been married?
Year and a half.
Okay. Well, that's good. You got some married life under your belt before you have a baby. Did you say you just had the child or the baby's due?
She's due in August.
Oh, okay. Well, good for you. Well, this is it's. If you thought your life changed when you got married, you ain't seen nothing yet. Okay.
Yeah.
Because you. I'm just telling you, man to man, you are going to get knocked off the throne. All right. And that's just the way it's got to be. And it was not fun for me. But if you know it's coming, it makes it easier. You've got a little life now that is going to be in your life, and probably more than that. That's going to be mom's main province right now. And so anyway, it sounds like you head on straight and you've got a good start on things. And I don't know. That's just the thing I was going to pass on to you.
Hey, I appreciate it, Greg. Thank you very much.
All right, Kyle. You know, I didn't know there was a Fresno, Ohio. I saw Fresno. I was thinking of California. That's where Amy is from. But
yeah, it's pretty tiny. We're in Amish country of Ohio.
So, oh, that's pretty far east then, right?
Yeah.
Close to Pennsylvania.
East of Columbus. Yeah, kind of in between Columbus and Pennsylvania.
Uh-huh. Well, that's pretty country.
Yep.
They have good
rolling hills and...
Yeah, they got good smallmouth fishing, too, probably, in some of the streams out there.
Yep, yep.
All right.
A lot of streams going to the High River.
All right, Kyle. Hey. All the best to you, buddy.
Hey, thank you, Greg.
And stay in touch.
Yep, bye.
All right, bye-bye now. Oh, sweet. That was a good call. Let's go to break, and I have more to talk to you about when we return on Stand to Reason.
Hey, friends. Would you like to be encouraged throughout your week with timely, relevant content meant to bolster your knowledge, wisdom, and character? Or maybe you have a desire to be connected with other like-minded Christians from around the world. If so, then you need to follow Stand to Reason on social media. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. Not only will you be able to interact with other Stand to Reason followers, but you'll also stay up to date and informed on our latest resources and events. In our current culture, it's important to have something of value to break up your social media feed. So just visit str.org and find the links to all of our social media platforms at the bottom of the homepage.
When you choose to support Stand to Reason with a monthly gift of $10 or more, you become a strategic partner in the work of equipping Christian ambassadors. Your monthly commitment makes you a part of a special group, helping STR train Christians to confidently and graciously defend their convictions. Your monthly gift helps us plan and manage STR's resources and provides consistent support to aid our ongoing work. As our thanks for your partnership, we have created some benefits to express our gratitude, like a 10% discount in our online store, access to a private Facebook group, and more. To become a strategic partner, visit str.org/donate. Click How Often Will You Donate? And choose Monthly. For personal assistance, you can email Ocean Wilson at ocean@str.org.
All right, I got something here that is very interesting to me that I want to share with you and talk to you about, but... There is a certain aspect of it that may really surprise you. I received something in the mail yesterday, okay, a letter, and had a little brochure in it, which I'll talk to you about in a moment. But the letter is, now I'm looking at it, and actually I'm going to hold it up to the camera for those who are watching online. You can see it is nicely, neatly hand-printed. On one page, on a piece of hole-punched lined paper, like you use at school, right? It's got a person's name, Christine, and her address on Erps Road. Oh, Erps Road is right around the corner from me, Thousand Oaks, California, 91362. That's my zip. And then it's addressed to Dear Mr. and Mrs. Kokel. Now, this is a very tidy handwritten note, or so appears. I actually don't know if it really is. You know, sometimes when you mass produce things, you can make them look like they're written and even personalize them in such a way that they. But I'll just tell you my first impressions. I'm a bit jaundiced somewhat, you know, about mailings and stuff and what people can do. But my basic impression was I got a handwritten note here. And it really is. It's virtually flawless, wouldn't you say, Kyle? It's just like it's flawless. It looks like handwritten, printed in very neat letters I actually should compare all the H's or all the capital M's, because if they are exactly the same, then we know that this was done on a machine. But it looks great. And the fact that in the upper right-hand corner, it has her name and her address that's local, that actually looks like it was certainly written by hand. In any event, I don't know. Dear Mr. and Mrs. Kokol, I live in your neighborhood and wanted to check in with other families to see how you're coping. Even though I cannot come visit you in person, I'd love to share some encouragement from the Bible with you. Next paragraph. The scripture Romans 15:13 says this, May the God who gives hope fill you with joy and peace by your trusting in him so that you may abound in hope with power of the Holy Spirit. Then she adds, so please don't become disheartened by the state of these current events. And remember, God truly does, I think she means care for you, but it's missing. God truly does for you. Okay. Now, remember, I'm jaundiced, so there's a word missing here. So who would have a missing word if it was mass-produced? Well, maybe somebody who didn't want you to think it was mass-produced. But in any event, okay, I continue. It's very sweet. Incidentally, I suspect what I've just read so far kind of resonates with you a little bit. I mean, consider the circumstance. I get this note to Mr. and Mrs. Kokol, handwritten, and saying, you know, would love to meet you. I don't know, I can't come by your house, but I do want to encourage you. And gives me a verse, especially given the times we're in that are hard. This has tremendous appeal so far for me. And then the next paragraph says, we're inviting people to benefit from free Bible-based material found at, and then she gives a website I'll tell you about in a moment. It can help you find answers to questions like, how to be happier today? What does the Bible say about the pandemic? There you can find at the website a digital version of the Bible in many different languages and articles on various topics like Bibles, questions and answers, peace and happiness, and fun videos for children. I've also enclosed a tract entitled, Will Suffering Ever End? And by the way, you can see how that would appeal to a lot of people who are suffering now, given all of the restrictions as a result of the politics of COVID. Okay. She closes, I'm engaged in this activity because I genuinely care about my neighbors. Then she writes Matthew 22:39, which is love your neighbor as yourself, right? Well, that's nice. I genuinely care. Until I can meet you in person, please feel free to contact me. And then she gives a Gmail address and also the website again. Now, the first thing I want to say is this is very appealing. For me to read it and just go through it, I think, wow, this is great. This is really great. This reminds me a little bit of an organization called Search that I've participated in and done events for them at different times. But basically, the way they work is they have someone with a large house that opens their home, and they invite a lot of people that they know to come over for a little spiritual talk. And it's very low pressure. People get to interact a lot. Questions go out, and people from the audience get to interact, and nobody's contribution is judged. And those who want can go then sign up for a home Bible study that they'll continue in more directed fashion. And that was hard for me to go to that event, by the way, because every time all this stuff came up, these questions and people talk, I want to raise my hand. Say, I know the answer to that question. And by the way, here's why you're wrong with what you said. I got the right, you know, that kind of stuff. Me, right? So anyway, there's an appeal to reaching out personally, showing an interest in individuals in your local community, especially in inviting them to your home or inviting them to be a group of other people who want to look at the Bible and see what it says and see how it can help their lives. All right, that is very appealing. That is the appeal of Search Ministries, the way they go about this. They have a very, very high number of people who end up going to this individual studies as a result of this larger group gathering at the house that end up staying on board, following the Lord, becoming part of an ongoing Bible study in a church. Very effective. Why? Because of the personal touch. In fact, I was thinking, gee, I wonder where this Christian is living. Well, there's the address, Herbs Road. I could go by the house and knock on the door and say, I think it's great that you're inviting me to come into your home and learn something about the Bible. And I'm just thinking, I'm wondering how many people in our neighborhood who've gotten a letter like this. I don't know why she picked us out and how she knows my name. I guess that's findable now with the internet and stuff. But what a nice overture. What a nice appeal. And also it struck me as, boy, more people should do this. Why not just send a letter out to 30 or 40 homes within a couple of blocks and say, gee, it's just, I want to be a good neighbor. I wonder how you're doing. And I know you might be feeling bad, but you know, there's hope. There is hope. God cares about you. Here's a verse, Romans 15:13. Now I want to give you the website. Remember, she said, we are inviting people to benefit from free Bible-based material found at, you ready? JW.org. She signs it, your neighbor, Christine. Christine is a Jehovah's Witness. You know, those annoying people come pounding on your door and they want to talk to you. And of course, you don't really get the sense they really want to talk to you. They just are getting their door knocking done for the day. Their allotment so they can earn their way to heaven. This doesn't feel like any of that. They know, apparently, that people don't like others knocking on the doors trying to peddle religion. So here is and I'm not faulting this woman at all. I think this is compelling. But they're Jehovah's Witnesses. Now, there was a tract there titled, Will Suffering Ever End? There's a woman picture, kind of a graphic where she's agonizing. Would you say yes, no, maybe? And then it opens up and says, here's what the Bible says. God will wipe all tears from their eyes and there will be no more death, suffering, crying, or pain. Now, and there's other appealing things here, different verses, some questions and comments that are made. But nothing about, it doesn't say Jehovah's Witnesses. Let me just see. Oh, it does. Very in the back, discuss the Bible with Jehovah's Witnesses. And you can contact them, whatever. But it's all about suffering. From a PR perspective, I'm thinking, well, look, they've got, okay, the tract. And if you've ever looked at a Jehovah's Witness tract or any other material, they have a very distinctive way of doing graphics. The art is done a very particular way. And to me, this is immediately recognizable as their style. And so for some people who have been exposed to it, this may be off-putting. Oh, I know what's going on here. These are Jehovah's Witnesses. Okay. So it might not have been a good idea to do that. But on the other hand, if somebody would have come by for the Bible study or contacted and then found out they were JWs, then that might have been worse. So maybe this is the right way. All I'm saying is this is incredibly fetching. It is good PR. And the reason it's good PR is it's personal. It's individualized. It's treating Mr. and Mrs. Kochel as a neighbor that another neighbor is concerned about spiritually. And it's touching on something that we all experience, suffering, especially during the pandemic time, and suffering not just from that, but from all of the restrictions associated with it. There is an openness in light of the circumstances, maybe to spiritual things. So this nice little letter is a probe. Okay? Would you like to check it out? My point is we should do something like this. Not me, Greg Kochel and Steve Kochel. I mean, we as Christians in our community. Why not? have a home Bible study, a seeker's Bible study. You can get guidelines for that. They're fairly turnkey. They're not hard. And then be hospitable. Ask people to come to your home. Ask a group. Say we got 5 or 6 or 7 or 10. Send out a note like this. Hand write it. Or if you can get some really clever computer, and I'm pretty convinced that's what was done here, then you could write in the name the same color as the computer printed everything else. Dear Mr. and Mrs. Kokel, I live in your neighborhood and wanted to check in with other families to see how you are coping. And she closes, your neighbor, Christine. Well, you know, God bless her. Even this, if this mass, in a sense, mass-produced for the individuals in our neighborhood, she didn't write every one of these out by hand. It doesn't matter to me. To the point I'm making, it's still very sweet. Now, it does strike me as a little bit odd that what is being offered here is guidelines to peace and happiness, because I don't get the sense that those that are laboring under the burden of the law that the Watchtower has placed upon people who are Jehovah's Witnesses brings them peace and happiness. Peace and happiness comes through forgiveness, full and complete forgiveness. This is not something that is offered by Jehovah's Witnesses. It is only offered by the God who became man and died in our place so that we could be forgiven once and for all and set free from the demands of the law. I just finished reading the book of Galatians. Maybe you should try it. It's not hard. And especially chapter 3. Unbelievable. Fabulous. Grace of God. Magnificent. And on that note, I'm Greg Kokel for Stand to Reason. Give them heaven. Bye-bye now.